Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
Welcome.
We are back.
So exciting.
Yes.
So many fun things to talk about. Books, books, books.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, maybe not so many for me.
Well, but we still want to talk about
I've been in a slump. So I'm going to tell you what I have been reading and how many books I have started and not finished lately. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm excited to hear even the little. Yeah. Sometimes life.
Yep.
We're all there.
Ebbs and flows.
Absolutely. Ebbs and flows.
I'm on the ebb. I don't even, right? Because flow means it's going well. Ebb means it's not.
Yeah.
I've actually never stopped to think.
Right.
I just know the phrase. Ebbs and flows.
It ebbs.
It ebbs. I'm
ebbs
ebbing.
Ebbs would be like it pulls back,
it pulls,
right?
Yeah.
It flows. That makes, at least that's why my brain imagines it.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm ebbing right now.
I hope you'll get to flow soon.
I'll soon flow. And
it will come.
Right.
It will come.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
I'm hopeful it'll come back. Good. So.
But first, Jamie.
Yes.
We need a fun fact.
So many fun facts. Before the fun fact, I want to do a correction. We had a listener reach out, which I love that. I love hearing from you guys and correct me if I ever say anything wrong or give me some more information. We love it. We eat it up. So a listener reached out about the fun fact I gave last week about our book, The Frozen River, by Ariel Lahan. Mm-hmm. And it is the story of Martha Ballard from 1700s colonial times. And she was a midwife.
Awesome.
And I had mentioned that Ariel Lahan, the author, had found some sort of a publication in her OBGYN's office. So she reached out and said she was very familiar with this publication. It's called Our Daily Bread, and it comes out quarterly, and it just has different articles and messages in it.
Yeah.
And so it is from Our Daily Bread, if anybody is interested, and I'm grateful to know more about it, because I really wasn't sure what she was talking about in the interview.
Right.
Which came across in my fun fact last week that I didn't really know what that
production was. It's so cool to get a little bit more information to understand a little better. I think that's
absolutely
awesome.
I love that.
Me
then
too.
She also said she has already read the book, and there was an author's note at the end that said she had, when I said that in 1,000 births, she had 1,000 successful births.
Yes, without a death.
Without a death. Thank you.
Yeah.
She said that actually none of the mothers died.
Which is also amazing.
Which is amazing because, come on, they're doing this in their own homes.
Right.
It's a 17-something. So no mothers died. But unfortunately, because of the times, because of things, there were infant deaths.
Right. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. That would make sense.
And, like, I think that there would be, like, that's it wouldn't feel real.
It would be some sort of fantasy magic if they were all. Because even with all the medical advancements we have now, there are just some times a baby doesn't
form right, or whatever.
You know, various causes of death in childbirth. So.
But amazing that she never lost a mother. That's not even our, like, standard now.
Right.
Like, it happens.
Women
even
hemorrhaging
still.
Back then, how would they even?
How did she stop
there's no
that
way they could
happening.
Do a blood transfusion back then if a woman hemorrhaged.
No.
So she knew what to do. All right. So my fun fact for today is in the same interview, she continues to talk about her actual writing process of this book. And when COVID happened and everything shut down, this was the time she had to finally, this is when it seemed right. Because I told you last week that it just never seemed right when she picked it up. Everything shut down. Nothing was going on anywhere. She went back to this story and this was the right time to start writing it.
I love it.
So in the book, The Life and Dirt Journal of Martha Ballard, I don't remember what it's called, something like that. Her actual journal that was what's the word when you put a book out that was published, her actual journal that was published into a book, in her writing on every page at the end of every entry, she writes the same phrase, I have been at home.
Oh.
Which is just part of her day. Like,
yeah.
And they were calling it a daily record, not a journal, but sure. There was a time when people just kept a daily record of what the temperature was, what the weather was like, who was doing what I did all day. You know, just a record of your day, not necessarily your feelings about anything like you would write just in a facts. Journal, but this was just facts about that day.
Sure.
And so in that fact, in when she, you know, her record, she would write, I have been at home. And Ariel said it was just so like mirroring my life right now. I have been at home.
I love that. Yeah.
We have all been at home. Yeah. So she said it was just kind of one of those things that made me think this was the right time to write it.
I love that.
Yeah. And she also said, I just thought this was funny, that if she had known that there was going to be a pandemic and the world would shut down, her and her husband would not have decided to buy their son a drum set for Christmas.
Oh.
So in the background of this story, as she's writing it, there is the thump, thump, thump
of
drums going on in the background. That's so hilarious. That is her memories of writing this book, and I have been at home.
I love that, We were all at home.
It seems so crazy to even
think back that school was shut down.
We
did not leave our houses. There was no toilet paper to be purchased at the stores.
None.
Like, it's weirdest so things that unbelievable. Were like, oh, yeah.
Like
happened.
When it comes in my head, I just think, was that really? We were really panicked about
for that long
toilet paper. Yes, we were. And that we thought, I think it's funny now. I kind of giggled that we thought school was just going to be shut down for 2 weeks.
Oh, I know.
2 weeks.
Oh, no, I can't talk about it. I like my heart starts to beat a little too fast.
Okay. All right. We'll change the subject then. And I'm excited to read this book. And next week is our book club for it. So.
Can't wait.
If you haven't read yet, start reading.
I haven't yet.
Me neither.
I'm looking forward to
That's this weekend. I'm going out of town this weekend, and that is going to be my book.
I can't wait.
I'm excited.
Okay, let's take a quick break. All right, now let's talk about books.
Let's do it.
I am so very excited.
What has been on your shelf lately?
The first book I'm going to talk about today is Scythe. Ark of the Scythe, number one, by Neil Shusterman.
Scythe or Scythe? I never know.
So I read this out loud to my eighth grade son, and he corrected, I kept saying Scythe.
Okay.
And he corrected me multiple times. It's Scythe, Mom.
Scythe. So it's a soft C.
He feels like it's Scythe. Now, take that from a 14-year-old. I didn't know.
I didn't, yeah.
But this was a book that was assigned at school. And so I felt like maybe he knew.
That he should know. That is the book that Ava chose.
Is it?
And she has now, we have like, there's three books in the series.
Yes, yes.
And I bought all three of them when Bennett, my oldest, read it in middle school for English class.
Okay.
So this is a trend. And she can't find the book number three.
Oh, no.
And she's like running around the house. And every few days it's like, really? Where is it? I don't know
she's
where it is.
She's liked it then if she wants to finish the series.
She really liked it.
Okay. So I've actually read this before. I was trying to see if I had talked about it before. Because it was in 2020. Right when we started the podcast. So I'm not sure. Maybe 4 years ago. I talked about
this. I think it's time to talk about it again.
So I am going to talk about
it
again.
We have some new listeners.
For a couple reasons. One is I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a book that I really, really like. I've read it both times. I physically read the book both times.
With both kids?
Nope. One I just read myself the first time.
Okay.
And this time I read out loud to my son. And it was really fun to read it with my kid. Now, mind you, this is a bloodbath. Like, this is kind of a gory book. It's about, like, the futuristic world. Now we have cured all human ailments, death, everything. Aging, you don't even age. You can just turn the corner is what they call it when you, like, turn your clock back and become younger again.
Oh, wow.
You can't go past the age of 21. That's the youngest you can go. But you can just keep reliving your life over and over and over and over and over again. You never die. Now, the world cannot handle people continuing to repopulate and never dying.
Okay, that's a whole nother problem.
Right, and so that's why they have created the realm of scythes.
Okay.
Okay, so scythes, it's like a calling. Mm-hmm. And you, if you are chosen, you apprentice under a scythe.
Okay.
Who teaches you the ways. And what they do is they glean. Glean is killing. You are gleaning people, and if you're gleaned by a scythe, you cannot be brought back.
You can't start over at 21.
No.
You're done.
No. Now, if someone gets, like, hurt or in an accident, they can, like, bring you back.
Right.
Even if you're, okay, you're deadish, is what they call it. If you become deadish, they can re-alive you.
Re-alive. I like that.
Okay. But if you are gleaned, you're done. There's no more. So it's really an interesting concept, right? Mm-hmm. It's this idea of, like, how do they choose who will be gleaned? And every scythe does it a little bit different. There are some rules, but they don't really have a ton of rules. It's more an ethics code.
Okay, amongst their realm.
Yes.
Okay.
And they meet quarterly at conclave to, like, discuss what's happening and how, if there's anyone needs to be, like, punished because they are maybe doing things inappropriately or whatever, or they test out weapons for how they might glean. There's a thousand different ways you can glean. Anyway, okay, it's super interesting. And you watch one scythe take on two apprentices.
Okay.
And his thought process is, at the end of their year apprenticeship, one of them will become a scythe and one of them will go back to their lives. And what would that be like?
Right.
And so you're getting this inside view of the scythedom from an apprentice's point of view.
Okay.
Okay.
The whole experience.
And it is good.
Okay.
Because this is a moral question.
Mm-hmm.
How should people die? What is an appropriate way
right,
to kill someone? Because it has to be done.
Right.
And humanely. And whose way is the right way?
Okay.
And everyone sees it a little differently.
And they have their own reasons for that.
Yes. And it's super interesting, and it caused a lot of conversations, actually, between mm-hmm. my son and I.
Okay.
When we talked about the way one scythe was choosing to do things versus another, and why one felt gross and one felt honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. Now, there's lots of stuff stirring, and maybe the scythedom is at, like, a crucial moment in time that I don't want to spoil, but it makes it very interesting.
I have had this book on my list.
It's good.
For so long.
I really liked it. And my son really liked it. Now, like I said, it is bloody. They're killing people.
Right.
And yeah. So there's a lot of death.
Yeah.
There's a lot of death. But we're having these conversations about what it means to live, what it means to die with dignity. What does it mean? You know, all these different kinds of things that are maybe a little heavy, but also was really good.
What a good learning opportunity.
Yeah, it was really good.
I like that. Because we can't just shelter from everything.
Let's talk about
it. We can talk about it. Because also when we talk about it, it takes away the fear that our kids carry about things like that.
Absolutely.
So it was really awesome good. You read
and,
it with him.
Yes, and we loved it so much that he's like, wait, that's the end. Because again, it's a 3-book series. Right. So that night, I ordered the second book.
Nice.
And we have not begun it yet. We've been a little busy, but that's next going on our list.
Number two.
Yeah, we're going to read number 2 out loud. And that's not even for school. We're just
wants to read a book. That's awesome. For no reason,
for joy.
But pleasure.
Absolutely.
That's the goal.
It's so good. Anyway, I gave it 4 stars. And it's called Scythe.
And I did look it up, and he's right. It is Scythe. I looked it up in the dictionary. It's a long I with S-I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scythe by Neil Shusterman.
Awesome.
It's good.
Great start.
Good.
To our talk. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first book that I'm going to talk about today is Maureen. Maureen is the third book in the Harold Fry trilogy. And so I think it was the last What's on Your Shelf that I talked about.
Yeah, I think so.
The Love Songs of Miss Queenie Hennessy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first one, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. Harold Fry is our main character, right? His wife, Maureen, and then Queenie, who's was a friend of his that's in the care center. Mm-hmm. And then the next one was obviously Queenie Hennessy, her point of view in the care center while he's coming. And then this one, it's a much shorter book than the other two. Yes. It's a quick read. But Maureen is his wife. And so it goes over her backstory, what her childhood, you know, it kind of goes over why she is the way she is. And then what she was doing or thinking throughout these stories or the reminiscing of the past and while Harold is journeying. And she has a journey of her own to go on.
Yeah.
So I will leave the journey of her own to go on without saying anything. But what hit me on this one is Maureen is very pessimistic. She does not see things ever half full.
Everything. Positive way. Yeah. No.
And she doesn't keep her opinions to herself. So when she's going about the world, she's not making friends because she comes across pretty harsh. Yeah. And then she's confused why nobody wants to hang out with her. She doesn't have any friends. Why doesn't she have any friends? Or this book or this group that I was with, why didn't anyone reach out or want to, you know, why am I not fitting in anywhere? And she just really hasn't made the connection of why she's this way and how to be different. How to change it. Mm-hmm. And so her journey in this book is very much that, I want to say coming of age in retirement, but learning about yourself. Yeah. And at that point in life, things are such habits, our thoughts.
Ah.
The immediate thought that comes to her brain is negative. And how do you break that cycle of negative thoughts about everything? And see things differently and be okay with where you are in life and where you came from. I really liked it. I liked all of these books.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, this one's short. It was impactful. I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah.
I've given them all 4 stars.
And I gave it 4 stars too.
I really liked hearing, I mean, she is a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
I mean, usually you say curmudgeon and you think a old man.
Yeah.
But she's just kind of,
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Kind of shut off from people. And, but I really loved that.
The whole series.
Seeing insight on that. Yeah. Thank you for recommending it. Because you recommended it to me and I've recommended it to others. Mm. And everyone I've recommended it to loves it.
It's so good.
So it's a good trilogy. Read them all.
I agree.
So that's my first.
Okay, very good. The next one I'm going to talk about is Heartless Hunter by Kristen Cicerelli, I think. Cicerelli. I hope I'm saying that correctly. This is a new release. It just came out in February. And I saw it on a few lists and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. This is the story of a witch and a witch hunter.
Okay.
Now, in this story, we are in a time in their land, it's fantasy, where there used to be a lot of witches, but some of the witches did not use their magic for good, and it oppressed a lot of the people who were not witches. But the people who were witches were, like, very well off, right? Like, they were high society and quite revered. But the people who were being oppressed, like, fought against them and took them down, and they now have taken over, like, the government, and they want to kill all the witches because they were so bad and they used, you know, their magic was evil because they would hurt people with it, when really that wasn't the case for most witches. There were only a few who dabbled in, like, a dark magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's one witch that's, like, in hiding, and she kind of is trying to stay hidden while also trying to save other witches that are trying to be found and killed.
By these hunters.
Yes.
A hunter? Hunters.
There are multiple, but there is one in particular who is, like, the one who seems to find everyone, and he's a really good witch hunter.
Okay. Okay.
So we're just following this story as she tries to save some witches that are, or a one particular witch that's in custody.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to help rescue while also keeping herself safe in the meantime. And her her way of doing this is to become closer to this witch hunter, thinking like, he can tell me where she's hiding. He's got access to all of this information and to the prison. Like, I'm going to be close. And then if I'm right under his nose, he won't even suspect me. And it's this back and forth between him and her as they, as, and what's right. Like, it, are the witches really bad? Because from her, you watch these two different points of view, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very much like a prejudice type of thing. We have these ideas about other people. We have
two beliefs.
Yes, and we have ideas about other people and experiences. Mm-hmm. And she can't understand why anyone would hate witches, because they're just regular people and you're born with it. It's not something that you choose. Mm-hmm. You can't make yourself a witch. You just are, or you are not.
Right.
And she can't understand why he hates them so much. Right, when it's not even their choice. Mm-hmm. And then she learns about him and his experiences and starts to question, like, her own. She kind of starts to have feelings for him because she's understanding all that he's been through. Now, he doesn't know she's a witch, but he is starting to suspect something and starts, but he has feelings for her. Mm-hmm. And so he starts to question his own, like, actions towards people. It's very, it's one of those types of stories. It's a love story, but it's also like conflict, because they could never be together because of who they are, and nor do they necessarily want to be, do they? Right? Mm. It was really cute. It's a fun story. If you like fantasy, which I always need one every now and then, this is a good one. If anything, I just felt like there was a lot of the back and forth, the chasing and the running away, and I would have loved a little bit more backstory and like a deeper like understanding of the different characters and why they were choosing what they were choosing. Like, it kind of was a little bit too surface in my opinion, but it was still very good. It was really well written. I gave it 3 stars. It's a fantasy. Go enjoy yourself.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's called Heartless Hunter.
Okay. All right, the next book that I read is called We Must Not Think of Ourselves. It's written by Lauren Grodstein. This is a World War II book, which I hesitate a little. This one came highly recommended. It came available really fast, and so I found myself listening to it, and I'm glad I did.
Okay.
It is a... Which, you know, there's so many books written about World War II. Mm-hmm. You can take your pick. There's a lot. So in all the books that I've read about World War II, there's usually like a heroine or a hero, someone who was super brave during this time that saved lots of people or lived through this or all of that. This doesn't necessarily have... There's many little, I mean, very brave people.
Sure.
But this is the story of, and this is based off of, this is from the Warsaw Ghetto. And all of a sudden, all the people in Warsaw become prisoners. There are walls built up around their city. They're stuck here. Their lives are completely changed. And they're hearing what's going on outside, but they don't really have access to information. It's just a lot of it's rumor or smuggled radios. And their lives have completely changed. Now, a couple weeks after this imprisonment in Warsaw, there is a guy named Adam Paskow. And this is based off of... actual archives that were kept during this time.
Wow.
So these are based off of stories that have survived all of this.
Wow.
I don't know if names are the same or have been changed. I'm not exactly sure on that. But Adam is approached by this, he doesn't know who this person is, just a stranger came up and approached him and asked him to start keeping... to interview people, to start writing down these stories.
Oh, wow.
And this is why we have these stories.
That's amazing.
So this is based off of those stories that were written down. And it's this secret group of activists, and they're working to preserve the story of what's happening to their lives. And so it comes from his point of view. He's the narrator in this story, and he is teaching English in a school. And as all this is happening, he continues to teach every day.
Oh, wow.
These kids show up for their English lesson, and he's teaching. So many awful things are going on. He kind of changes a little bit and starts teaching poetry in English and having discussion, giving them some hope, some joy, something beautiful during this time.
Yeah.
And as he goes about it, he doesn't have a list of certain people to interview. He's just interviewing whoever. Like, how has your life changed? What's the hardest part? Have you found anything good about this situation? Just everything. Just tell me your story. So what this does is it really puts you on the streets
Ooh.
Of Warsaw and shows you from just the average, ordinary person.
Yeah.
What their lives were like. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's heavy. You really see these people. Like, I felt like I knew these people and could see their lives. And then all of these horrible things are happening and the decisions they have to make. And, you know, we talk about being a law-abiding citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at this time, is it okay to break the law if it's survival? And there's a lot of guilt of if you do something for yourself or you keep something for yourself for survival, but other people don't have it, what does that say about your character? It was, I had to stop quite a few times.
Oh, goodness.
And walk away from it because it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's sad. Mm-hmm. It's people in defiance, the love of one another and trying to help each other, but then trying to help yourself and your family too. And it just really, it took me a long time to finish this book, like probably a week and a half. Mm. And it's not because it's a long book.
Right.
It's just over 304 pages.
Just the average book.
But I just couldn't sit and ingest a lot of it at a time.
Interesting.
It had to be taken in little bits and pieces.
Okay.
So keep that in mind as you read it. Like any World War II, it's ugly. I mean, it was just an ugly time.
Right.
This one to me just seemed even more. Anyway, I gave it 4 stars.
Wow. Okay.
Really good point of view, very creative in the writing and him telling these stories and teaching lessons through teaching English. Excellent. Really good book.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Hard to follow that one.
I do have a good one. Bring us up. This is why I need a happy, funny, lighthearted book right now. So I'm going to add on top of that, that after I read this book, I started 3 other books. And had to,
I don't have that book for you next.
Oh, that's not it? You can't lighten us up?
Nope.
Okay. All right, we're in it.
My last book, Jamie, is Kristen Hannah's The Women.
Oh.
Which is amazing, but it is not lighthearted and funny and fun.
Okay.
It's not that.
No. Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah. In case you've been living under a rock, I am here to enlighten you about The Women.
Okay. The Women.
The Women. This has been a much anticipated, highly talked about book.
Mm-hmm.
If not wherever you are for me, right here on this podcast, we've been talking about it. I did finally get to read it.
Lucky, I'm still on hold waiting.
I refuse to wait. I bought it on Audible. I needed it now because there's like a 300 person wait, I think, at our library.
Yes.
So.
And counting.
And counting. Right. So I just I'm buying it. I'm reading it. I'm not waiting.
Good.
This is the story of one particular woman, Frankie McGrath, Frances Frankie McGrath.
Okay.
Who becomes a nurse and decides she comes from a family of war veterans. There's a war wall, you know, a hero's wall at her home of men who have served in, you know, previous wars.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to be a part of that. And so she joins the army to be a medical nurse soldier mm-hmm. in the army. And she goes to Vietnam. And it's her, this is the story of her service in mm-hmm. Vietnam, the people that she meets, her experiences there, and her experience returning home and what happens. I would say half or something of the book is her time in Vietnam, and then the other half, and maybe even like a third, is in Vietnam, and two thirds is afterwards. Like,
okay, so majority much
happens at home
once she gets back.
Okay. So that was a surprise to me. Like, mm-hmm. I thought this whole thing was going to be about this the experience of all the women in Vietnam. No.
Right.
It is the perspective of one woman. Yes, there are other women in the story that are there, mm-hmm. and that she interacts with, and that that help her, but it's her experience. And Kristen Hanna has a way of telling a story to make you feel like you are there and you just understand these people's experiences, mm-hmm. so deeply,
right,
that it feels very personal. And that is exactly how I felt when I read The Women. I was very surprised. I mean, you hear a little bit about Vietnam. I think I've read one or two books about Vietnam. And this one was very different because it's about the hospitals and the nurses that cared for the soldiers there. Mm-hmm. And all of the backlash from when she comes home, and it's hard to read sometimes. Like, I was really wrapped up in like the sadness of it and her sadness. Like, it's a lot. It's a heavier book, but it's also like not difficult to read, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, you will breeze through. It's very much like takes you to the next, like it just takes you from start to finish easily, but it is heavy.
Yeah.
It is heavy. And I felt like I learned so much. My mind is blown. Sometimes when we are in the moment, we maybe don't act correctly. Maybe I should say that. And we all know that. Like, right, the way that veterans were treated from Vietnam was bad. It was really bad. And I think people felt justified in that because of what was happening there.
But what it wasn't, they were taking their anger and frustration out on the wrong people.
Absolutely.
They did not choose to serve there. They chose to serve.
Yes.
Our military, which we should always be appreciative of that.
Yes.
Where they get sent and what they do is not
what they're ordered to do.
They're ordered. Yeah.
It's super interesting. And yes, I don't think that every soldier is always good and right.
True.
Right? Because humans can make wrong choices.
There's bad people everywhere.
But that, I think, is a much smaller amount of people that are that. Right.
Right.
And I think we need to know before we judge. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's one side of it. But I loved it. I gave it 5 stars.
Ooh.
I loved it so much.
Way to go, Kristen Hanna. Another fantastic book.
It's really, really good. And funny enough, while we were sitting here talking, I looked it up and was looking at friends of mine. I've had quite a few friends who have also read it. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4 of my friends who have read it gave it 5 stars.
Wow.
1 gave it 4 stars and 1 gave it 3. And I'm like, ooh, I want to call that friend and see.
Let's talk.
Yeah, tell me why you thought that.
Perspective or their perspective.
4 out of 6 gave it 5 stars. That's pretty uncommon. Right now, this book is rated 4.71 stars. 4.71. Like, that is unheard of. It has almost 120,000 reviews.
So that's not a lot. I mean, sometimes when you see a score that high, not very many people have rated it.
Yes, absolutely.
This is rated high.
Yes.
With a lot of ratings.
A ton of ratings. I mean, you just don't see that.
Yeah.
You just don't.
I mean, that's a really good author.
It's definitely. If you aren't going to read very many books this year, I would say this should be one of them.
This is the one.
Yeah. And you won't regret it. Like, you won't regret it. You're going to get something out of this book.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And you'll be glad you read it.
I just looked up on the library. I started out at like 150 something on the wait list, and I'm down to 36.
Oh my gosh, you're going to get it any minute.
It says 2 weeks.
Ooh! I'm so excited for you.
It's going to come. So now I have a couple others I've got to finish first that are going to be due. Yeah. So I need to hurry and get you through those so I can get to this one. I'm
known for like talking books up and then people being like, eh, it was okay. So I hope I don't do that for you. But I think the generalized opinion is that it's good.
That it's good. Okay. Well, anyway, I have liked almost everything I've read, but I don't think I've read one from her that I haven't liked.
Yeah.
I haven't read all of her books, but the ones I've read have all been fantastic. So another fantastic one. It sounds like. Yeah. I'm excited.
Mm-mm. All right. Thank you for listening today. If you have any comments, you can find us on Instagram or Facebook.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Please rate and subscribe and share with your friends.
Thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music.
Now get back to your book. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.